Very good. Thank you, Randy. Today for our pastoral prayer time, I wanted to say that, you know, looking around in the news and all the stuff that's going on, and we see how everything just seems to be spiraling. I mean, just it's going faster and faster and faster, and it's just getting crazier and crazier, and people are getting meaner and meaner and meaner. And it just doesn't seem like there's any civility left in the world. And if we see in Scripture that, you know, towards the end, that people will be revilers, you know, that they're going to hate people, they're going to love themselves, and that they're, you know, the good is going to be called evil and evil is going to be called good. And that's, we see that going on right now. And it just reinforces the fact that I think, you know, that we're the generation that is seeing the things happen that Jesus spoke about, that the tree is blooming, the fruit is coming on the tree, we see the figs are coming on, and we see the time drawing near. But what I would like to pray for here in this pastoral prayer time is that we pray for our leaders, you know, for the city and for the state and for our national leaders and even world leadership, and ask for, you know, that God would put His Spirit on them. I know that the odds are not too good on it, but we can pray for it anyway. That, you know, just to help them make decisions that bring glory to God. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, Lord, I praise You, and I praise You for this opportunity to lift up our leaders in prayer. Lord, we take a look here in the city, you know, of Reading. We see the influences of evil. We see the influences of sin. Lord, we see all the homeless on the streets, and we see that there's drug problems, and we see violence and crime. Lord, at the state level, we see that our leaders seem to be just absolutely disconnected from the reality that's happening, that they seem to want to just say everything is free, and they want to just go against whatever it is that You say. So, Lord, I lift them up. And, Lord, at the federal level, Father, we see the leaders of our nation, you know, for the most part, Lord, that they have just absolutely lost all touch with what You say is true. Lord, and the rulers of the world, they seem to want to just establish the kingdom of darkness, and they want to do it now. And the only thing that's preventing them is You, the restrainer. The Lord, I just pray for Your Holy Spirit. Lord, put Your Holy Spirit on the hearts of those that are appointed to lead over us. Lord, I pray that Your will be done in all things. Lord, that You would establish Your will, and that things on earth would be just held in balance, that Your will be done, and that all eyes would see You and glorify You and bring praise to Your name. Lord, help us as believers, help us as disciples of Christ. Lord, help us to be light in this dark world. Help us to show people what the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love, looks like. Lord, help us to do these things and to just obey Your word. Lord, we pray these things and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so here's the message for today. It's going to be on the commissioning, the cost of discipleship. So hang on just a second. Let me get my message up here. All right. I told them in the first service, so I will tell you in this service as well, that there is going to be a pop quiz on this at the very end. So, no, seriously, you need to take this very seriously, because I do not want anyone to fail at this test. All right. So we have looked already at the call of discipleship. How when we have a saving knowledge of Jesus and have repented from our old lives, when we have surrendered our sin to God, when we have confessed our need for the saving grace of a loving Master, the grace that is found only in Christ Jesus, and we have been born again, born into a new life. A new life outside of sin and death, outside of the old ways that we used to live in. In this new life that we turn to the Word for our nourishment, and the Word provides us with strength, provides us with hope, and provides us with direction. We want to obey the Word. We want to be in Christ. We want to do the things that He did. We want to live like He lived. We want to become fishers of men. And this is what He instructed His faithful followers to do. We see in Matthew 28:18-20, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" So this, then, is our call to discipleship. It is our call to obey the will of our Savior. It is the will of God Himself that we, as those who have been given this gift beyond all measure, this gift of salvation, that we should do the will of Him who gave us that gift. And that is our call as disciples. The next thing we looked at was the cost of discipleship. We saw that this obedience to God's will is not cheap. It won't be easy, and we will be hated for it. We saw how the One who gave us this wonderful gift, He paid a dear price for it. We saw how His faithfulness to His Father's will cost Him everything. It cost Him His family. It cost Him His dignity. It cost Him His very life. But through all these things, Jesus kept the same focus, the same goal. And that goal was to bring glory to His Father. And Jesus never wavered in that, not for a moment. He was faithful in everything that He was given to do. Jesus told His followers that they also would lose family, possessions, their dignity, and even their lives for His sake. It says in Mark 10, verse 29 and 30, "So Jesus answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers, children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life.'" Jesus also says that when we follow Him and we do the things that He did, which is to tell the world about sin, to tell the world about judgment, and to tell the world about the saving love of Jesus, that the world will, in fact, hate us. The world will persecute those who are faithful to the Word. And at some point, the world will even think that by persecuting and condemning and even killing those who preach the gospel, that they are doing God's will. However, Jesus says to fear not, for He has overcome the world. That's John 16:33. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We, as true disciples, are called to daily pick up our cross and follow Him. That's in Luke 9, verse 23. "Then He said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.'" So Christ Himself, when He went to the cross to redeem us, He went with joy. The Scripture says, "For the joy that was set before Him." That's in Hebrews 12, verse 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The cost of discipleship is high, but it is not so high that we can't, with God's help, endure, and endure to the finish. When we see our Lord and our Savior, and we stand in His presence, the very presence of God, if we have been faithful, we will hear those wonderful words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And that's in Matthew 25, verse 23. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." And that is what every true disciple wants to hear. To know that their service and their sacrifice for the cause of Christ pleased their Father. You go ahead and click once. There you go. This is us when we come to the cross. All those blue lines, and we come to the cross, and we go on that green line there, that the course of discipleship and sanctification, and we obey, we do what God says to do, and we follow, and we're faithful, and that's us going into discipleship. Click again. These people are the ones who think, "No, you know, I said a prayer, or I'm baptized, so I'm okay with God." And they don't do anything. They sit. They went the route of being religious. They followed the church of self, or they took the path of easy belief. And I'll tell you something, they are going to hear something entirely different when they stand before God. When they chose their own path, they will hear Matthew 25, verse 26 and 30. "But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed.'" Verse 30. "Cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So we see the cost of discipleship, how we are called to surrender everything. Surrender our lives, our dreams, our hopes, our desires, everything that we used to hold dear. We are called to count all of that as rubbish for the joy of knowing Jesus Christ, for the joy of doing His will. And that is the cost of discipleship. It is not for the faint of heart, but we can do all things through Christ. That's in Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." The last week we saw the commitment of a disciple, what it means to stay the course of discipleship. We saw that this commitment is the state of being dedicated to a cause. And that would describe a disciple who is dedicated to the cause of Christ. This cause of Christ refers to the purpose, plan, or mission of serving Christ. Paul taught that his missionary work was for the cause of Christ, for Christ's purpose. Today, many speak of the cause of Christ in a similar way. When someone says that they serve the cause of Christ or suffer on behalf of the cause of Christ, they usually mean that they are acting as part of God's mission to reach others with the gospel. So we see that this definition of being dedicated to a cause fits with our study of discipleship very well. But just being dedicated to a cause doesn't really narrow it down to being a true disciple. You can be dedicated to the cause of living your Christian walk your way. Or you can be dedicated to serving God on your own terms. And that would still mostly fit this description. We should also understand that commitment represents an engagement or an obligation that restricts freedom of action. So then we, as disciples, are to bring the message of Christ to the whole world. We are to tell everyone about this gift of salvation through repentance and belief in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to his first disciples in John 8, verse 31, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed.'" the word abide. That means to remain. That means to dwell with. That means to live in. That means to stay. So a true disciple will follow under the definition of the word commitment, that we volunteer to restrict our freedom of action, to do only what Jesus says to do. Does that make sense? We have all kinds of freedoms in Christ, all sorts of possible things that we can do, because we are, after all, under grace. But we should love Him so much that we willingly surrender our freedoms, that we willingly surrender our rights to do His will. And that brings us to our topic for today. Go ahead. Good. Yep. The responsibility of discipleship, the commissioning. So, commissioning. Let's take a look at the word commissioning and see what the definition is. All right, the commissioning of a disciple. Go ahead and click once. Commissioning means a formal written warrant granting the power to perform various acts or duties. Go ahead and click again. It is an authorization or command to act in a prescribed manner or to perform prescribed acts. Click again. Commissioning is authority to act for, in behalf of, or in place of another. Click again. Commissioning is a group of persons directed to perform some duty. So we can see in each one of these descriptions, each one of these definitions, we can see our call as disciples. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, we see how Jesus commissioned His disciples. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So just as we saw in Matthew 28, earlier we had seen that Jesus called His disciples to go ahead of Him into Galilee after His resurrection, and He gave them their instructions. He gave all of those disciples that followed then, and that even means us today if we are truly His disciples, He gave us all our instructions. They are written down. They very clearly state what we are to do. These instructions are our written warrant, granting us as disciples the authority. And if we look back one verse in Matthew 28, verse 18, we see Jesus' authority. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So when Jesus gave us as disciples His authority, we have the same authority. We have the same power to give the gospel to everybody. And in the upper room when Jesus had come and He breathed on them, And He said, here's the Holy Spirit. If you forgive sins, it's forgiven. If you don't forgive sin, it's not forgiven. He wasn't giving them super special power. He was giving them the authority. He was giving them the power to present the gospel. He was giving them the right to take the gospel out to the world. And those who believed in that gospel, their sins were forgiven. And those who did not believe in the gospel, their sins were not forgiven. So Jesus had all authority, and He gave it to us as disciples to go out, spread the gospel, and make other disciples. So Jesus has all authority, both on heaven and on earth, and He is giving us, as His disciples, authority to spread the gospel across the whole earth. He is making us, as disciples, His lieutenants, His authorized representatives here on earth to tell all of creation the gospel, to tell everyone about judgment, and to tell everyone about the gift of salvation. When a person is commissioned into the military, they are given the full responsibility or authority and responsibility. Remember the word responsibility. To act on behalf of their country and to act on behalf of the military. They are to act in such a manner that will reflect the highest traditions of their country and the military in which they serve, and to bring honor to the same. This commissioning is truly a solemn and sober event. The person is called upon to defend their nation. They are called upon to surrender their freedoms and their rights in order to protect their nation. And if need be, they are to give up their very lives in that defense. We, as disciples, are called to do pretty much the same thing. We are given authority by not Congress or any other human endeavor, but we are given our authority by Christ Jesus Himself. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And we have been called into His army. We are to carry His message to every corner of His creation. We are to defend the faith. We are to be ready at all times to give a defense of our faith. We are to be able to tell anyone what we believe, why we believe it. We are to surrender our freedoms in order to be faithful to God's call for our lives. Surrendering our desires and our wills, turning our lives over to our captain so that he may use us as he wills. And we are, if needed, to freely surrender our lives, giving that last measure to his service. As we have seen earlier, this commissioning, this call, does not come cheaply. It is not without a risk. It is not without peril. But we have such a leader and such a cloud of witnesses that have gone before us that we can draw comfort, draw inspiration, draw strength that we will need to carry it out. Jesus said to his disciples about that comfort in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Knowing that we will encounter tribulation as part of our commission, that the world will not like it when we tell it its ways are evil, people will not like it when we speak the truth, Jesus showed us how they would respond. But he also gave us a very clear message, a message of peace and a message of comfort, something to hold on to during those hard times. So let's return to the subject of responsibility. Each of us, as disciples, are responsible for the gospel. We are responsible for taking the message out into the world. Remember what our Lord said in Matthew 28. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So he said, go. We're commanded to take the gospel out into the world. Jesus didn't say, "Oh, if you feel like it." Jesus didn't say, "If you want to." And Jesus said, "It's okay, somebody else will do it." No. He quite clearly told each disciple, and that does mean you, if you are truly a believer in Christ, for anyone who calls himself a Christian or a follower of Christ, and to not go out and tell someone the gospel is the same thing as telling God, "You know what? This is how I'm going to serve you." And that, my friends, is open rebellion. That's pride. And that is not a child of God. There is only one who denies God, and that's Satan. If a person holds back and denies to do what Christ has told us to do, that one is the wicked and evil servant. Just think about that. God wants us to be faithful. He gives us every opportunity to obey. He gives us every tool we could possibly need in order to obey. God Himself gives us the faith. God gives us the grace. God gives us everything, truly everything we need to be good and faithful servants. God provides us with all of that. We just need to make the decision. We need to use our free will and obey. There's an example in Scripture. Well, actually, there's a bunch. But I just want to use this one to show an excellent example of a disciple taking responsibility for the gospel. It's in Acts 8. I've abbreviated and I've just highlighted some of the main points, but 26 through 31 on this slide. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near, overtake the chariot." So Philip ran to the chariot and heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Next slide. Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's some water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. So here in these verses, we see Philip being a great example of a disciple and taking responsibility for the gospel. Earlier in John, we saw Philip was at the upper room, and he said to Christ, "Show us the Father." And Christ said, "Have I been with you this long and you still say, 'Show us the Father?'" This is St. Philip. All right? So this Philip, after he was breathed on and given the authorization to give the gospel, was giving the gospel. He is told by the Spirit to go to a location and overtake the chariot. Philip doesn't hesitate. He goes. He doesn't say, "Oh, I'm tired." Or, "You know what, somebody else is going to do that." Or, "Nah, I've done my share. I don't know what to say." Or, "Nah, I'm kind of scared to do that." Whatever excuse he could have come up with, he doesn't. Instead, he obeys. He also teaches the gospel to the other person. This teaching required that Philip himself knew the subject matter. And how do we learn the word? We learn it by reading it. We learn it by studying it. We learn it by praying about it, to have an understanding heart. And Philip shares the message, and the man comes to salvation. And then he is baptized. Philip does exactly what he is supposed to do, exactly what we as disciples are called to do. Philip takes responsibility for the gospel. Now, granted, this is an extreme example, but the steps are all the same. Obey the Spirit. Share the gospel. Teach the word. Baptize the new believer. And I want to make sure that we all know the following. Go ahead and play. Our obedience to the word literally holds eternal consequences. If we aren't faithful to the word, who is going to believe who doesn't hear the word? How will they believe who haven't heard? And how will they hear unless someone goes? Right? We are responsible for taking the gospel out, and it has eternal consequences. So let's go ahead and recap what we've learned. Go to the next slide. Okay, hold right there. Now click once. There we are. Number one, we are called to be disciples. That's in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. That's our formal written warrant by Jesus charging us to go and tell all the world the gospel. This is not a request by him. This is an order. Click again. We see that there is a cost to being his disciple. Mark 10, 29 and 30. We are called to daily take up our cross and follow him. This life we live in the flesh, this life that we have right now, we live for Christ. Everything else should be, as Paul put it, rubbish, for the joy of knowing Christ and him crucified. Click again. We are to remain committed to the cause of Christ. That's John 8, verse 31. We as disciples are to follow Christ, to take the message of the gospel wherever the Spirit takes us. That doesn't mean we stand shouting on street corners. But like Philip, we might have to go find the person that the Spirit is telling us to speak to. We need to always keep our ears open and our hearts ready to understand. when the Spirit says to speak to this one or that one. We need to know how our Lord spoke to those who were lost. He spoke with love. He spoke with compassion. But always, always, He spoke the truth. He will give us that same message to speak if we truly trust in His Word. Go ahead and click. We are commissioned to spread the Word. That's Matthew 28, 18 through 20. We have been given the authority and the responsibility to take the gospel out to all the nations. We are responsible to Christ for that message. We don't speak the word for gain. We don't speak the word to glorify ourselves. We don't speak the word to have power or control over others. We speak the word, we preach the gospel, so that the lost will hear and the Spirit can convict their hearts, and by whatever means, they might be saved. Not for our glory, but for the glory and praise of our Lord Christ Jesus and our Heavenly Father. You know, Christ paid the ultimate price for our salvation. He went to the cross willingly and took the full weight of our sins, the sins of the whole world, on Himself, so that if we truly believed in Him, we would be saved. God, our Creator, our Father, wants us to be redeemed. He wants us to be with Him in His paradise for eternity. He rescues those who come to Him. But in order to come to Him, people need to know that there is a path, that there is a way to be redeemed. And that is our job as disciples. Someone took the time, someone stepped out of their comfort zone and took your eternal life seriously and shared the gospel with you. And I don't know about you, if you're anything like me, that took a while. Remember I said there was going to be a test on this at the end? Well, when you stand before God, and if you're found in Christ, you pass. And if you're not found in Christ, well, hell is deep and no one ever comes back. Christ said in John 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So if you're here, if you're sitting here and you're listening to this message, or if you're out on the internet and you can hear this message, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, then I'm going to ask you right now, take this moment, take this opportunity, call out to God. Let Him know that you're done, you're finished with this life of sin. Let Him know that you need Him to give you another chance, that you need to be born again. Understand that Jesus, and only Jesus, has the power and the authority to forgive sin, and that in Him, you will be raised up to life eternal with Him in heaven for all eternity. And for those of you who are His, those of you who do claim Jesus as your Lord, I want to encourage you. I want to lift you up before God. And I want to ask that He will fill you with His Spirit and lead you like He did Philip to tell someone the gospel. That you can live a life that reflects glory and love. Let us prove our love for our Lord and our Savior, prove our love for our Captain, and keep His commandments. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we come to You as Your children, seeking to do Your will, seeking to bring glory to both You and to Christ Jesus, our Savior. Lord, help us to have hearts that seek to glorify You. Lord, help us to love those people that You created so much that we put aside our own desires, so much that we put aside our fears, and we go and we speak Your words with Your love in our hearts. Lord, help us to live lives that reflect Your glory. Help us to surrender our wills to You so that You can fill us to overflowing with Your Spirit. And we will show the world Your love and tell the world Your message. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a closing hymn. Change My Heart, Lord. Which one? 654 in your hymnal there.
To you first, before we sing this, because it speaks to exactly what the message that Gord's been delivering to you today, because it says, change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Let's sing it together.
Sing it together.
Ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you.
And I want to put this call out. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know God as your Savior, you don't know God as your Father, if you have never taken that opportunity to repent and to turn from sin, if the Spirit is calling on you, I urge you, I beg you, I plead with you, take that opportunity and repent and turn to God. Because tomorrow, honestly, is not guaranteed to anybody. So if you want to come forward. If not, I'll say, you know, go out and have a beautiful day, have an awesome day. Don't burst into flame when you walk out, because it's probably warm out there. But take the opportunity, listen to the Spirit, and remember, be like Philip, and just, you know, take a moment and tell somebody that of the love that saved your life, and help someone else understand that there is salvation out there, that they don't have to live a hopeless and desperate life. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.